Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome back to the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. I'm your host, Francesca Liparotti, nutritional therapist and perimenopause educator. And today we're diving into a topic that so many women in their 40s feel but can't always explain. And it's something I get asked about a lot. So the question I hear a lot is, why do I feel more stressed now than ever before? Why is my patience thinner, my sleep lighter? Why is my nervous system just on edge? I definitely resonate with all of this. And I definitely feel, and I have felt for a few years, I noticed anxiety starting to creep in. In my early 40s, I managed to get a really good handle on it at the time. And that's great, because if we don't know how to address certain symptoms, although they do evolve, they can stay and hang around in the background and intensify. So it's great that I knew what to do to manage that. But obviously, as I keep moving through my 40s, things come up and my hormones become more and more sensitive, which is exactly what we're going to talk about today. And something I'm noticing now, and I've had a particularly stressful previous 3 months up to today, and only just sort of coming out of the stress, I'm just feeling on edge all the time, constantly, managing to sleep really well. Luckily, my sleep, I had a bit of some sleep issues in my early 40s, again, got a handle on them. And my sleep has always been good ever since then. Luckily, touch wood, I'm not in the sleep issue stage. And I'm hoping I never am. But, you know, who knows? So my sleep isn't impacted, but just when I'm awake in my waking hours, I just feel on edge most of the time. So yeah, as we go through this conversation today, hopefully that'll make more sense as to why. But what I want to say is that it's not just life, it's not just aging, it's your hormones. And more specifically, it's your HPA axis. And that's something I'm going to explain today, because the HPA axis plays a huge role in how stress feels and how your body responds to stress in perimenopause and beyond. So what is this HPA axis? So let's just start with a quick science lesson to explain what this actually means. So HPA axis, it stands for hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is basically a communication loop between your brain, which is the HP part, and your adrenal glands. So you can think of it as your internal stress response system. So the hypothalamus and the pituitary are in your brain, and they send messages down to your adrenal glands, which are two small glands that sit on top of your kidneys. And then your adrenal glands release stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol to help you respond to the perceived threats. And this would be any and all type of stresses in our everyday lives and any particular challenges that we might be facing. Now, in a balanced stress response system, so in a balanced body, this HPA axis, this communication loop, it helps us deal with stress and then return to calm after any of that, you know, a particular stressor has gone. But when we hit perimenopause, that balanced system can get knocked off course. It's very likely to get knocked off course on what's happening for most of us at this particular time. So why is that? So as we move through our 40s, a few things change hormonally, and that causes the HPA axis, that communication loop between the brain and the adrenal glands, your stress glands, it causes it to change and shift and become essentially dysregulated. And that is because a few things. Estrogen, which supports neurotransmitters, so brain chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. When estrogen starts to fluctuate more erratically than ever before, that stresses out the brain, which is the HP part of that axis. So that adds, you know, that kind of dysregulates that HPA axis. Progesterone supports GABA, your brain's calming brain chemical neurotransmitter. And that progesterone begins to steadily decline. So progesterone and GABA support your nervous system and your stress response, and they help us to feel more resilient. And then the brain chemicals like dopamine, serotonin, they support our mood, our focus, our motivation. And when estrogen is fluctuating more erratically, that's going to impact the production of those, the balance of those brain chemicals, and stress out the brain and impact that HPA axis. So this combination affects your nervous system in a really big way. And you might find that you're more reactive to stress or more sort of sensitive to stress, less tolerant to stress is something I hear a lot and I resonate with. You might find that your sleep gets disrupted more easily, like things like sleeping like a log can become a thing of the past, if that's something that you were used to. I've definitely got friends and clients who say they always had, just they never had issues with sleep. They would literally sleep like a log. Wherever they put their head down, they'd sleep. And now that's just, they're like a different person in that sense. It may be emotional resilience can feel like it's wearing thin and you can't sort of regulate emotions. It could be that you feel really, really angry and full of rage one minute, and then the next minute you're just feeling really teary and upset, bursting into tears, nothing particularly wrong, you know, that you would pinpoint, but just feeling absolutely just emotional and emotionally drained as well. You might even feel that your physical resilience, like how well you recover from intense workouts, for example, can be impacted. So your performance in the gym can start to wane, whether it's a HIIT class, a run or a weightlifting session. You might just find that you feel that you don't have the sort of resources in your battery to get you through those workouts and or recover well from them. So kind of feeling like you've been hit by a truck the next day, as opposed to just aching muscles. And on top of all this, you know, life loads tend to be bigger in our 40s than ever before. So we're juggling more, caring for more people. We've got more responsibilities, we're handling more pressure. We're taking things more seriously as well at this stage of life, aren't we? You know, as much as we want to be sort of enjoying ourselves and be happy-go-lucky, we just tend to think more about things and have to worry more about things and, yeah, you know, just take things more seriously. And your hormonal buffer is no longer as strong. So that is on top of the additional life loads that we tend to have in our 40s, especially when it comes to parents. So you might have young children in your 40s, or you may have a mixture of older children and younger children, depending on the age gaps. You may have teenage children. Either way, whatever age your children are at this stage of life, they all of those different stages and ages of children, they'll bring about different pressures and stresses. And even for those of us without children, we just do tend to have this bigger life load. And so add to the fact that we also have this hormonal buffer no longer being as strong, it's just this kind of recipe for, you know, nervous system dysregulation. And cortisol goes up in perimenopause. So something a lot of women don't realize is that the new erratic nature of estrogen that I describe, particularly those sudden dips in the roller coaster, as I said, it stresses out the brain, and the brain perceives these hormonal drops as a kind of crisis. And then it signals to your adrenals to release more cortisol. So cortisol naturally goes up in perimenopause, one of those reasons being the erratic nature of estrogen, but also the fact that progesterone, your naturally calming hormone, is getting lower and lower. Less GABA support also means more cortisol. So declining progesterone, erratic nature of estrogen, is increasing cortisol. It's like this natural effect that we have this higher cortisol in our 40s. So another reason why we'll feel more wired, anxious and tired all at once. We can be in this sort of vicious cycle because that lack of progesterone can also impact our sleep, meaning we have less deep restorative sleeps. And that also increases cortisol. The body does not like poor sleep. Sleep deprivation doesn't like it. It's a stressor. We increase cortisol as a result. So we could end up in this cycle of just, you know, stress, more stressors, poorer sleep, and then just the fact that all of our hormones are creating this situation naturally of higher cortisol. So, you know, leaving us, as I said, feeling more wired, more anxious, more tired all at once, and then less resilient to stressors, less resilient to our life load. And just like, why am I feeling, you know, this is kind of explaining why you're feeling more stressed than ever before. So why are your adrenal glands so important now more than ever? This is something I really, really want to hit home. Your adrenal glands don't just make cortisol. They also, which, you know, we need to be able to make it when there's demand for it. But they also produce a hormone called DHEA, which you might have heard of. It's like a precursor hormone to testosterone. So we need healthy amounts of DHEA in order to be able to make healthy amounts of testosterone. So these, what a lot of people don't realize as well, is that these hormones are adrenal hormones. So, you know, estrogen and progesterone, they're made by the ovaries. We can make a very small amount of estrogen and progesterone from our adrenal glands post-menopause. A very small amount, not the physiological levels that the body uses and needs, but, you know, every little helps. But predominantly estrogen and progesterone, these are ovarian hormones. And sometimes we tend to think of testosterone maybe and DHEA as ovarian hormones, but they're not. These are adrenal produced hormones. So if there is this chronic stress situation and then now there's this shift in estrogen and progesterone that's also putting more pressure on the adrenal glands, we can likely end up with lower DHEA levels and lower testosterone levels. This is definitely my story right now. And it's all about the adrenals. So when people say, oh, my testosterone's low, again, they can tend to think of it in terms of ovaries. It is not. It's stress-based. It's supporting those adrenal glands, taking the stress load off, supporting our nervous system, supporting that HPA axis, so that the adrenals can do their job of making that DHEA, which is then used to make testosterone, because rather than just being constantly used to make cortisol because of that high stress demand. So this is where stress management, nervous system support becomes a non-negotiable. If you want to take care of yourself, your health, your experience of perimenopause, make it as easy as possible, you have to support your body to deal with stress and you have to manage your stress. And I've got lots of episodes on stress management. It's one of my biggest pillars, one of my four big foundational pillars that I work through with clients. As I said, I work with so many of my clients. This is the biggest piece of the puzzle that we're working on. And in my membership, Midlife Thrive, this is, again, one of the key modules that is in the course. So go back and listen to previous episodes on stress, cortisol. You'll see it all in the titles quite clearly, hopefully. So yeah, we just want to take the pressure off these tiny little glands. We don't want them to be overworked from pumping out our stress hormones, cortisol, and then they can't do their hormone producing role very well. So this could be a thing where we don't really want estrogen to really start declining until much later in the perimenopause journey, much closer to reaching menopause, to going 12 months without having a period. That's when it's natural that we'll see this decline in estrogen. But for some women, they're starting to see this decline in estrogen quite early, earlier on in their 40s. You know, yes, we have the erratic nature. We have the roller coaster of estrogen from early 40s, which can result in super, super high levels 1 minute and super, super low levels the next. We get those crashes. But usually these women, their overall estrogen levels aren't actually low. They still have normal, if not much higher estrogen in their body. They're just going through these roller coaster crashes that's bringing on low estrogen symptoms at various times. And not only is your perimenopause experience significantly impacted, but your postmenopausal hormone health is impacted as well. So how you feel in your 50s and 60s is significantly affected by how well you support your HPA axis in your 40s. So essentially, just to further explain this HPA axis, you might have heard of adrenal fatigue. So what I'm saying is that adrenal fatigue, well, what we know now is adrenal fatigue is not an accurate explanation of what's happening. HPA axis dysregulation is the accurate scientific explanation of what is happening. Our adrenal glands do not just fatigue. They don't just get tired and stop making hormones, which is what we previously believed was the case. So if you're speaking to people that are still, like, you know, experts that are still talking in terms of adrenal fatigue, please just be aware that they may not be up to date with what's actually happening. So that could be a little red flag. But yeah, so adrenal fatigue isn't a thing. It's HPA axis dysregulation. So let me explain how that's not actually accurate. As I said, the adrenal glands don't just fatigue, they don't just bottom out. It's brain to body dysregulation. It's that the brain is not communicating down to the adrenal glands properly. There's a dysregulation in that communication loop between the two things, the brain and the body. The adrenal glands, they don't just get tired like batteries. It's essentially the signals between the brain and the adrenals have become disrupted, inconsistent, and out of rhythm. So to fix what would previously have been called adrenal fatigue, because we might sort of be referring to the same situation of the result being that we feel rubbish, we feel on edge, we feel very stressed, heightened, fatigued, low energy, can't sleep, all of this. So to fix what would previously have been called adrenal fatigue, we have to support the messaging system itself. We have to support the brain and the nervous system. This is the messaging system. If these two things are happy, I mean, the brain is part of the nervous system. So if the nervous system is happy, that HPA axis is regulated, it's happy, it's consistent, it's in rhythm, and we feel better and we should feel good. And the good news is that we can support that brain, that messaging system, the nervous system. Small, consistent actions that we might take every day can make a really big difference to the health of this communication loop. So how can we support that HPA axis and stress resilience? So here are some of the most powerful ways to regulate this and calm your stress response. So I'm just going to kind of, obviously I've got previous episodes where I've really gone into more detail with on all of these in, you know, on their own. So I'm just sort of going to list out and go into a little bit of detail on the most important things that we can be doing every day to support the brain to adrenal connection. So the daily nervous system care that we might be looking at would be things like walking in nature mindfully, not listening to headphones or being on the phone. You want to be in nature mindfully. The scientific research that's out there about the positive impacts of spending time in nature on the brain and the nervous system, they all come from mindful time in nature, where we're actually listening to the sounds of nature and we're looking at the sights of nature and taking it in. And ideally even being, really sort of like grateful, I guess, I can't think of the word, grateful for what we're seeing and what we're hearing and realizing how beautiful it all is and how wonderful it all is. That's where we get the benefits, the brain gets those benefits. The research was showed that just 2 hours a week was enough to support energy, mood, and the stress response to reduce cortisol levels, rebalance cortisol, I should say. So just 2 hours a week, split that out across 7 days or 5 days, however you need to do that. I think that's achievable for most of us. Breath work, so really simple breathing practices like the 4-6 breathing routine. I always talk about that 4-6 ratio breathing. So simple, so easy. Once you know how to do it, just look it up on YouTube quickly or Google. It's simply breathing into a count of four through your nose with your mouth closed, deep breath through the belly, and then breathing out, same way, to a count of six. So the longer out breath is what tells the brain everything's okay and that you're calm, and it sort of calms the nervous system and nourishes the HPA axis regulation. Meditate, any meditation, any mindfulness activity or meditation that you might like. You might have a good app that you like to use with guided meditations, or someone might have recommended one to you. I personally really love the Insight Timer app. It's free. You can pay for it as well, but the free version seems to be fine to me. And I love to do yoga nidra meditations. Yoga nidra is also known scientifically as non-sleep deep rest. That's NSDR. So they're both the same thing. It's essentially a body scan meditation that you do lying down in stillness. You would either lie down on a mat, you'd either lie down on your bed or on your sofa. You're basically just listening to a body scan, beautiful body scan meditation. And that has been shown to calm that stress response, rebalance cortisol, nourish that HPA axis. And just simply moments of stillness. So where can you just find little moments where you can just take a minute? So I work from home, and every hour I leave my desk and I will just go and stand at the patio door, or I'll go out on fully out onto the terrace and sit on the chair and just listen to birds that I can hear in the distance. I'll have a cup of green tea out there. I don't bring my phone, and I'll just have a couple of minutes and then come back. And so however you can do that, if you work in an office, if you work elsewhere, outside, how can you just get a couple of minutes to yourself? And in those couple of minutes, you could do that 4-6 breathing. You know, you don't even necessarily need to close your eyes for it. So just those little pockets of time can make a big difference and have a compound effect over time. Gentle yoga classes, yin yoga, hatha yoga, gentle yoga flows. Again, just being mindful of your breath, move the breath in and out as you're doing these movements has been shown to nourish the nervous system. So these are sort of my favorites. These are absolutely my favorites. And then we want to support our sleep, because as I said, sleep deprivation, poor sleep is a stressor. That stresses out your brain, dysregulates your HPA axis. So honor your circadian rhythm. Get morning daylight. First thing, within 30 minutes of waking, can you get outside? If you have a balcony, a terrace, a garden, if you don't have any of those things, can you stick your head out of a window for the first sort of, for 5 minutes upon waking? Even if it's cloudy, you know, you could ideally do with a little bit longer outside if it's cloudy, like 10 to 15 minutes. If there's no cloud cover, 5 minutes is fine. But you just want to expose your eyes. You know, you're not looking directly at sunlight, but you want to expose your eyes, which is signaling to the brain that, you know, it's daylight, it's morning, it's time to be awake. And that signals a production of what's known as a cortisol awakening response, which is really important. And that is regulating your circadian rhythm. But then likewise, at nighttime, we want to really make the effort to reduce what's known as blue light. So blue light exposure during the evening. So that would be, blue light is anything that comes out of your screens, your phone, your laptop, your light bulbs at home in the ceiling. So what we want to do is minimize that blue light exposure. What you can wear blue light blocking glasses while you're watching TV, for example, but a good hour before bed, 45 minutes before bed, you really want to have a solid wind down routine where the lights are dim everywhere. And even when you're brushing your teeth or maybe cleaning up in the kitchen, there's no overhead lights on. It's just dim lighting. So all of my clients, I get them to, and I have done, my friends do it, invest in relatively inexpensive, like, evening lights. So there's a website that I use called Block Blue Light in the UK. And there's also another website called Bond Charge. And they sell these sort of red lights that you can use in the evening. So they're like the opposite of blue light. They've got these lovely little red lights that you can just stick. They're sort of, they're rechargeable. And you stick them up on the wall with a magnet. I have them in the hallway. I have them in the bathrooms. So anytime we're going into the bathroom at night, brush our teeth, they're sensors. So they just come on as you walk into the room, and they light the room enough for you to go to the toilet, brush your teeth, floss your teeth, whatever you do, but they're not providing that blue light. So things like that can be really helpful. And then, you know, avoid those screens for that 45 minutes before bed. Maybe just read a book in dim lighting, do some nighttime yin yoga poses to help your body wind down for a good night's sleep. And it really is a game changer. This is what I started doing in my early 40s when I first started noticing sleep issues. And I have not looked back. I don't do things any other way. I have a solid wind down routine every single night, and I get morning daylight within 30 minutes of waking every single morning. And 4 years later from starting doing that, my sleep is great. And I believe it will stay great as long as I continue to do this, which I will, because it's just become second nature. You know, obviously there's times you might be on holiday, we might go out for dinner, like certain, of course, there's going to be these one-off times. As long as there's sort of fewer and further between, it's not all the time, you shouldn't be as disrupted by it. But I definitely notice if I'm out, let's say I'm out late and then, you know, I'm just exposed to bright lights until whatever time, 11 o'clock, which is late for me. I still manage to sleep, not as well. I have trouble falling asleep. I don't tend to stay asleep. And I feel hungover the next day, despite the fact that I don't even drink. So it just goes to show we're all very different as to how sensitive we are to these things. But I am super, super sensitive to these things. So I need that solid wind down routine in order to have the really great restorative sleeps that I do have. So the next thing is balancing your meals, particularly increasing protein, making sure that is optimized is the first most important thing. 30 to 40 grams of protein with every meal, especially breakfast. I say that because when I say every meal, it doesn't always hit when, you know, that I'm also talking about breakfast. So many times I get food diaries from my clients or I speak to friends and they say, oh, I eat loads of protein. I eat this for lunch, I eat this for dinner. And I say, well, what do you have for breakfast? Oh, oats or a toast and a couple of eggs. You know, there's not enough protein. There's no protein, you know, in the oats, it's like oats and seeds and nut butters and stuff like that, which is all great stuff. But that's just not, there's a few grams of protein there. You want 30 to 40. A couple of eggs is about 10 to 12 grams. So where's the rest? So this is why I always emphasize, especially breakfast. So stabilizing your blood sugar, which is what that level of protein will do per meal, is really important because it stabilizes your brain. There's nothing more nourishing. Well, this is one of the, there are, this is one of the most nourishing things you can do for your HPA axis. Your brain feels calm when your blood sugar is regulated. So obviously nervous system care, all the things we just talked about, sleep support, but balanced meals comes into it big time. Your HPA axis will get very disrupted. Your brain is very stressed if blood sugar is imbalanced. And that's, you know, massively due to lack of protein. Nourishing and strengthening exercise just becomes so much more important now, more than ever. So the boot camp, the HIIT classes, you know, every morning on 5 hours of sleep, this all worked in our 20s, maybe our early 30s, we could get away with it. I used to do this intense 2 hour like boxing training class. So essentially, yes, there wasn't really much boxing in there. It was more the sort of training side of it. And it was 2 hours and I did it every Thursday from, was it 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. every Thursday. I could never sleep on a Thursday night. This is when I was about 36 and I didn't know any of this stuff back then. I couldn't sleep on the Thursday. I felt absolutely awful every single Friday. Could not wait for the day to end. And this just went on week after week after week until I realized this is absolutely battering my hormones. As soon as I stopped that class, everything was fine. So luckily I was only 36. Had I been, you know, I speak to women who are doing this stuff now, they're doing it in their 40s, they're doing it in their mid 40s, they're doing it in their late 40s. It's absolutely wrecking your nervous system, wrecking your hormones and dysregulating your HPA axis. So please, I really do encourage women to be careful with this stuff. Like, do you need to do this? Do you need to do the boot camp, the HIIT class? The sort of crazy metcons that you might, you know, you'd get in a typical CrossFit class. Do you need to do those things? Can it be that you are happy to do 2 to 3 really good quality strength training classes per week or sessions, not classes, you know, just like a workout, weightlifting essentially, to help you build muscle and hold on to that muscle, support your bones. And that is the type of exercise of strength training, weightlifting. It's supporting all of those different things like building muscle, supporting bones, supporting metabolism. But it's also not stressing out your system. It's not battering your adrenal glands, demanding this production of cortisol. It's actually helping you to increase your testosterone levels, your growth hormone, all of these really important things, myokines, which are sort of immune chemicals or immune hormone chemicals that help to reduce inflammation and regulate your immune system. Lifting weights and strength training does all of these wonderful things without that stressing out your nervous system. And then, you know, walking, as I said, in nature, preferably lots of walking throughout the week, yoga, all of these lovely things are, you know, coupled with strength training is a really great way to approach your exercise. And then when it comes to supporting your nervous system with supplements, my favorites are, and the most inexpensive is magnesium glycinate and glycine if you also want to add that in. So magnesium glycinate on its own, I would say if you're somebody who's not taking magnesium glycinate already, right, and then you start taking it from now, you source a good quality product, you just want to make sure it's magnesium glycinate. That's the particular form of magnesium. If you were to start taking 400, 500 milligrams every evening, about an hour before bed, I strongly believe you will have really great benefits from it if you're not taking it already. It's so lovely and calming to the nervous system. It really supports that calming sort of response in the evening. It doesn't make you sleepy or drowsy, but it helps you get a more restorative sleep at night. And over time, you know, taking this every night, supporting your sleep, it just has that knock-on impact, compound effect to your nervous system overall, at a time when you really, really need that support. If you're already taking magnesium glycinate and you want to go that step further, then you could consider adding in glycine. So I like to use glycine powder. You can get it in capsule form, but ideally you need 3 grams, which is 3,000 milligrams of glycine. You could try 1,000, you could try 2,000, it's fine. Maybe just start with 1,000 and see how you get on. But I just like to buy it in powder form so I'm not taking lots of capsules at night and then having to drink lots of water and get up in the night to go to the toilet. So glycine is inexpensive. You know, just get one that's pure glycine and nothing else. Thorn is a good capsule form, or Now Foods is a good sort of powder granule form that I quite like. And take that with your magnesium glycinate about an hour before bed. That can also be a game changer. That was a game changer for me completely. And it's what I take every single night with my magnesium glycinate. You may have heard of adaptogenic herbs. So these are basically particular herbs that they've been shown to sort of adapt to your own stress response, your own nervous system. If things are too heightened, they can calm. If they're too the opposite, then they can help to sort of bring things to life. So gentle herbal support from things like ashwagandha, rhodiola, passion flower, saffron, holy basil, these can be really nice things. They can be used on their own. They can be used in a formulation. I would encourage you to be working with a practitioner when it comes to things, you know, something like magnesium glycinate, glycine, you know, go for it. But when it comes to anything a little bit more complex than that, like these adaptogen herbs, herbal blends, I would encourage you to be working with a practitioner, because some of these herbs, they don't work for everybody. And if you've got like genuinely low levels of cortisol, which you wouldn't know unless you tested, then some of these herbs don't work very well for a low cortisol person. Likewise, if you have very high levels of cortisol, which you'd only know through testing, some of these herbs don't work very well for that. So I would just advise caution with, you know, just willy-nilly going out and getting lots of ashwagandha and, you know, not really knowing whether it's going to help you. I would say saffron is, so 30 milligrams of saffron per day has been shown in recent research to support mood, support energy, and kind of, you know, help the nervous system. So that might be something safe either way to just try. But really, they are not the holy grail at all. So don't worry if you don't have budget for these or you don't want to take them, you can't work with somebody to find out. They're not the holy grail at all, because it all starts with foundational habits like the ones I just mentioned. That is what you really want to be looking at: your exercise, your balanced meals, your sleep support, and your daily nervous system care. And the other thing that's really important to know is we need to appreciate our own perceived stress. We are all very different, unique. We all have such unique nervous systems. So what feels stressful to you, then that's significant. That's impacting your nervous system, even if it wouldn't stress somebody else out. Or people are telling you, oh, you shouldn't be worried about that. Oh, don't let that bother you. If it bothers you, it bothers you. That's your unique nervous system. And how we react to stress as an adult, you know, usually comes from how things sort of panned out in our childhood. And that is where, you know, we're all so unique. So our nervous systems as adults are all completely different. So don't compare, you know, don't look at other people as, oh, they doing all this stuff as well, and they it's not bothering them. It's all about our own perceived stress, what our nervous systems find stressful. That's all that matters, not whether somebody else does or not. So we will just all react completely differently to different stressors. Also, emotional and psychological stress is just as real to the HPA axis as physical stress. So, for example, being stressed out and anxious about your money, your finances, that's going to bring about the same stress response from your brain as being chased by a lion or a tiger who wants to eat you. It's the same thing. The brain doesn't know the difference. And unfortunately, we can't tell it the difference. So give yourself compassion. And also agency, like believe in your ability to make different choices and implement these simple habits and their ability to significantly influence our health and our well-being, because that's the truth of it. We have the power to control these, you know, situations, these symptoms. So learn your own patterns, learn what sort of boundaries you need, healthy boundaries you need to start putting in place. Learn when you need to say no. Appreciate that no is a complete sentence. I absolutely love that saying. No is a complete sentence. I'm still teaching myself that. You can just say no. I can just say no, thanks, without actually having to explain myself. We can. Learn your own needs, learn your own stresses, know your own limits, respect them socially, professionally, with the family, create your own stress toolkit and live by it. So let's wrap all of this up. If you just take one thing away from today, I'd love it to be that stress in perimenopause is physiological. You're not broken. You're not weak. You're not doing life wrong. There is nothing wrong with you. Your hormones are shifting, and that shift changes how your body, your brain responds to the world and your immediate environment. But with the right support, with the right habits in place, and I've listed the most important things here today, you can feel calm, you can feel clear, and you can feel resilient again. You can get your sleep back. You can, you know, reduce those headaches, those tension headaches, those stress headaches. You can feel less on edge and more, you know, in control and calm. Now I really hope these episodes are helpful. That's the goal. It's to empower you through perimenopause, but I can also support you one-to-one inside my 3-month coaching package or the health improvement roadmap, which is just a one-off session with a report, or inside my Midlife Thrive membership. We explore all of this in more depth. There's a whole, you know, course with lots of modules to go through. And then a monthly or bi-weekly group call and online space, and you can go through that completely at your own pace. So my Midlife Thrive membership is basically your pre-menopause care plan. It gives you education and empowerment for what's happening now and what's to come. So if you want to know more about any of those things, the details will be, links to them will be in the show notes. You can drop me an email at francesca@francescaliberati.com. You can DM me on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening today. And if any of this has resonated with you, I'd love it if you could leave a review. That is the only way the podcast will grow, is the more reviews I get, the more 5 stars I get. That's the only way it's going to be exposed to more people. Obviously, if you share it with your friends, that's also going to be helpful. So drop me a message if you want to let me know what landed for you from this episode, or if there's any particular questions or topics you want me to address on future episodes. So until next time, take a deep breath, go outside in nature, and know that everything is going to be okay. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliberati.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.